some ideas with you. And since he asked me, because I had the schus of being very close to the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I will start with some of the things I heard from him. And once it was a very private, personal conversation. We discussed the matzah of Yiddishkeit in America, and emphasis and the chumras were introduced and this and that. He said to me, it's all very beautiful. There's only one thing missing. Asking, what's missing? He called me the Pasuk of Bereshis, Rak en Yiras HaRakim b'mokam hazeh. And if you look at some of his svarim in his drashas, he often bewails the fact that he was able to convey to his talmidim many of his insights into the halacha and the meaning of the Yom Noroim, etc. But he said he never succeeded in conveying his own religious experience. And it's not only in the realm of the religious experience of the Yomim Noroim the Rav felt it was so difficult to convey, but in addition he always stressed there was a time when Yiddishkeit as we see it had a very tough time in America and very few were Shomer Mitzvahs. He said the only way which we can prevail is both by intellectual superiority and also moral superiority, that our ethical behavior should be such. And ethical behavior, heard from him many times, cannot be simply taught the way you learn a Shulchan Aruch halacha or even the Rambam halacha, because ethical intuitions and ethical insights can only be acquired. I heard it once from him, and he quoted Rav Shapiro Zecher Livracha, the Lubnina Rosh Yeshiva, and he said, Boruch Shebocha Bohem Ubimishnosam. He said, Boruch Shebocha Bohem Ubimishnosam. We understand the Mishnah is important. What's the Bohem? But he said, when it comes to ethical and moral conduct, you can't learn it simply from Svarim. You have to have the Bohem. You need the model. It's a matter you find in the Rambam too, because the Rambam takes the mitzvah of Hatbeik Bitardim Yechomim Ubobot Ditpokun, says the Rambam, it's kidei sheyilmedu mimaaseyem. Why kidei sheyilmedu mimaaseyem? Because if I heard on ordinary pshat, I would learn pshat. Hatbeik b'tamid chomei. Why? Because tamid chomei are close to Ribbono Shalom, and because you respect the Ribbono Shalom, also come close to tamid chachomim. You do business with them, etc., etc. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam emphasizes kidei sheyilmedu mimaaseyem, because obviously ethical conduct, etc., you can only learn by being exposed to the model. And so the Rav used to say, both Hasidim and Misnagdim make one big mistake. Hasidim think they have a Rebbe, and Misnagdim think they don't need a Rebbe. Hasidim think they have a Rebbe because they think you give the Rebbe a few dollars and you follow, and this is it, you know. But nobody, you don't follow the Rebbe, because the Rebbe is a higher matrega. He's your connection to the Ribbono Shalom, you know. And you, it's almost the half, I don't want to say the half, it's vicarious identification with the Rebbe, right? But it's not going to say, well, we don't need a Rebbe, you know, they find the Haseloch. But the Rebbe, the Rav always emphasized, when it comes to certain dimensions of Yehadus, you can only learn it from following concrete models and seeing what they do. That's why Chazal tell us, because you have to be exposed to the Talmid Chacham in order to see how he conducts himself, and as a result of this, you absorb by osmosis many of his attitudes and his values. Now, having said this, and the Rav always emphasized that Jewish ethics and Jewish moral behavior is based upon imitatio Dei, the imitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, the mocker for that is very simply in Hilchos Deos. Because in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam says explicitly that, what does it say here? That we have to follow the we have to follow the Derech Abinoni, the middle way, and that's mitzurin onu. We have the mitzvah leleches betrochim eile Abinonim, the Derech Abinoni, v'heim atrochim hatovim v'yishorim shenema v'alachto betrochim. It's interesting, the Rambam is the first one who emphasizes a mitzvah of halachto bitrochov in the sense that it refers to the cultivation of middos, of proper deos. Deos, the Rambam, when it speaks of Hilchos Deos, doesn't mean opinions, but deos means dispositions, traits of character, attitudes. So, and before him, and many even afterwards did not take this as a specific mitzvah, because the pasuk that he quotes in Kisovo, Velachta Bitrochov, I could learn simply that it is a general brocha, Velachta Bitrochov. It's not explicit. And so the Velachta Bitrochov need not necessarily be interpreted as a specific obligation to cultivate ethical attributes, middos. Secondly, for example, if you see other Rishonim, they take the mitzvah, Lachta Bitrochov, means you should obey Halacha, the Taki Hashem. But the Rambam, no, singles out Lachta Bitrochov as the mitzvah to do what? To cultivate middos. Interesting, there's a Steiros Rambam. And this is really, I can't speak there with the authority of Rav, because the Rav didn't say that. But I find that there's a Steiros HaRambam. What's a Steiros HaRambam? Because in the Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam formulates the eight mitzvos asay, Hatzivu shin stavu na damas al shpesporach, kif yecholteinu, we're supposed to imitate the Rebbeinu Shalom according to our capacity. Obviously, only no one can completely imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who amru v'alachtu b'trochav. Kvar kofet tzivu zeh v'oma, and we find the same thing in Ekev l'oleches b'trochav. Upo ha'perish inyan zeh, what is the pshat? Malkesh Baruch Hu nikro rachum. Listen carefully to the words. Malkesh Baruch Hu nikro rachum. He doesn't say Rebbeinu Shlom is Rachum, but Nikro Rachum. This is, of course, the Sifrei. Why does the Rambam not want to say Malkesh Baruch Hu Nikro Rachum? Because, you know, in the Mori Nevuchim, the Rambam points out that you actually cannot say Malkesh Baruch Hu is Rachum. It merely appears to us in his relationships to us. It's what we call the Torah HaPi'ulo, the attributes of action. It appears to us as if the Rebbeinu Shlom would be Rachum. But the Rebbeinu Shlom himself is not Rachum. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, the Rambam does not quote the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, as Abu Shaul says, "Say keli ve'anveihu, hevi domilo." Would be much more obvious Gemara to quote in the Sifrei. But the Rambam doesn't want to quote the Sifrei, because for the Rambam it's a little difficult to say hevi domilo. To imitate Da'ki Hashem, that fits in the Rambam scheme. But to say Hevedomelo, the Rambam doesn't want to say, right? So that's why the Rambam utilizes the Sifrei in Parshas Ekev. It's not even on the Pasuk Valachta Bitrochov. It's interesting also, let me show you another interesting feature of the Rambam here. Malkeshpochu Nikro Rachum, Af Atoyir Rachum. The Rebbeinu Shlom is Nikro Rachum, he's not really Rachum. But Nikro Rachum, right? And therefore you be Rachum. Ma ha-gesprochen Nikro Tzadik, af ate ye Tzadik. Ma ha-gesprochen Nikro Chosid, af ate ye Chosid. Zeh loshon Sifrei. Ukva loshon Tzivon seh beloshon Acha ve'oma. And here the Rambam says something which he does not repeat in the Mishneh Torah. Because it says here, Ach Hashem Telechon, it says the same mitzvah. V'gam perusha, bosh, in yonah, there's the Gemara in Sota, which says, I afshad yoto, b'mas, b'midos, b'shok g'shpochu, so for, ma'u g'shpochu, ma'u b'sharumim, avato, tal b'sharumim. Ma'u mavaka cholim, avato, tavaka cholim. So in other words, give you such mitzvahs, mitzvahs, pikocholim, ma'u b'sharumim, etc., etc. That is also included in Ach Hashem Telechu, which he takes as the mitzvah of Volachto Bitrochov, right? He said the same mitzvah as Volachto Bitrochov. Shein Yonis, Damos, Damasim, and Tovim, we should imitate the good Masim, or the Midos, and the Chbodo, Shem, to Mitzvah, Yisrael, Edecha, Seher, Moshe. Right. It's interesting, the Rambam in Hilchos Ovel wants a mocker for Gemilus Chasodim, he doesn't quote this. In Hilchos Ovel, the Rambam only has one reference to Gemilus Chasodim, and it says Gemilus Chasodim is Midivir Chachomim, and it's only based upon Volavta Reich Kamocho. So, why doesn't the Rambam quote in Hilchos Ovel when he speaks about the mitzvah of Gemilus Chasodim? Why doesn't he quote there this particular mitzvah, what he says in Sefer Mitzvahs? And in look in Hilchos Deos, he restricts exclusively the mitzvah of Volachto Bitrochov to the cultivation of Midos. It appears to me that this is very deliberate, because there's a one Klal Gadol. Look historically, the Sefer Mitzvahs was written before the Mishneh Torah. And the Sefer Mitzvahs was written for the purpose, so when the Rambam would write the Mishneh Torah, he wouldn't forget any mitzvah. That's why Rambam first composed the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Mishneh Torah is a work that the Rambam didn't write only in one time. The Rambam repeatedly emphasizes he reworked the Mishneh Torah all his life. So I would, so whenever there is a stirrer between the, what the Rambam's final opinion is and what you find in other Sforah, be it the Perishnayas, be it elsewhere, the most authentic source of the Rambam's view is always found in the Mishneh Torah. Because the, all the other works were either written before, but even those were written afterwards, he did not rewrite them as much as the Mishneh Torah. The Mishneh Torah was what we call in the magnum opus, his great work, and therefore, in the Mishneh Torah, that is the most authentic. So, I'm asking myself, why is it that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos included in Volachto Bitrochov as also the Gemilus Chasodim? But here in the Mishneh Torah, it does not include Gemilus Chasodim. The other stirrus between Sefer Mitzvos, give you just one very famous one. For example, the Mitzvah of Avas Hashem. When you look into Sefer Mitzvos, then the mitzvah of Hashem can be fulfilled either by the contemplation of nature, or it quotes the Gemara, which says, when you look into the Yesod HaTorah, there's no reference to the Limud HaTorah. There is only Kishponim V'Masa, you look into nature, etc., you see the, etc., etc., you see the Nisim that we find in the world, etc., etc., Chochmah of the Rebbeinu Sholom, and that as a result of this, you can cultivate Avas Hashem. I have no talents in this for this moment. I just want to show you it's not unusual to find a stirrer between the Sefer Mitzvos and the Mishneh Torah. So, it appears to me what the Rambam wants to emphasize. You see, didn't I say cultivation of mitzvos, of midos? Yes. Let me give you a very simple illustration. Suppose I'm a fundraiser. I want to collect funds for a yeshiva, right? I prefer an individual who is generous to a person who is a kamtzen, who is very indifferent. But frankly, all I care is how much money I get out of it, right? You show me the fundraiser who is interested in bringing the people really to more middos rachmim, etc. He wants money, right? He's by hook or by crook, right? So you could argue that, yes, middos are important. Why? Because if you're not middos, you won't probably do as many mitzvahs as you would do without proper middos. In other words, a means to an end. I can show it according to Rambam. Cultivation of middos is not a means to an end, because in Hilchos Tshuva, and I remember it very well because I once turned Tfabet Malbatim and I got a revolution in my hand. The Rambam says you have to do Tshuva not only for Masim Roim, but also Deos Roos. And Deos Roos means bad traits of character. Deos Roos in Rambam, that does not mean false opinions, but having bad middos, right? So people couldn't understand, how could you be responsible for bad middos? As a matter of fact, I hate to tell you, one of the persons I admire a great deal, it was the Rav's son, was outside before her, Professor Tversky. He has a wonderful book on the Mishneh Torah, and he claims that when the Rambam in Hilchos in Perek Mishnayos, in the introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is called Shmona Prokim, has a discussion as to who is higher. What's the higher level? To have good middos, and therefore you will be able, let's say, to give tzedakah without any difficulty because you feel like doing it. It's your own inclination. It's your own desire. Or the person who has to overcome all bad influences, and he is a tight fisted individual, but he says it's a mitzvah, I got to do it, you know, I do it al api v'chamosi, but I do it because it's the mitzvah sabore, right? So the Rambam in Shmoneh Prokim raises this question, and he says there seems to be a stira. On the one hand, the Rambam, we say we have the concept the fum tzar agro. The schar is proportionate to the effort. So therefore, if I find it difficult to give tzedakah, my schar should be greater than if I don't find it difficult, right? Because the fum tzar akro. On the other hand, he says, the Greek philosophers used to say that the great goal is to cultivate middos. They call it virtue. In Greek they call it arete. This is the Greek notion of the ethical behavior, that you should cultivate middos, right? And the great ideal is that you then be the kind of person who by his own has remade his nature in such a way that it comes easy to him to do all the right things, right? So Ramaray has a still. So it says very simple. When it comes to Mrs. Ben Ol Mokom, the Fum Tzarako, the more difficult it is, the greater is the reward. But when it comes to mitzvahs ben odom l'chavero, then it's a different story. Why is it a different story in mitzvahs ben odom l'chavero? Because by mitzvahs ben odom l'chavero, you're supposed to have the proper sentiments, right? It's not enough that you do it, but you should also have the proper middos. So Professor Tversky, this is the question. He feels that this is a steer with the Rambam says, because the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that b'mokum shabad the tshuva omdim ein omdim tzadikim gemurim. Why? Because what's the Rambam's explanation? Because it's more difficult for the Baal Tshuva, because he is already has torn tam chet, so it's more difficult for him. So therefore you see that the Rambam has a change of mind. My point of view is no, because there are two things involved. When it comes actually to the mitzvah of tzedakah, yes, maybe the more difficult it is, the greater the reward it is. But you're deficient in something else. You're deficient in walachta b'trochav. And the Rambam speaks of the mitzvah of walachta b'trochav, right? It's not as some people claim. I've seen in writings that people claim that this was a concession that the Rambam made to Greek philosophy. It was not a concession to Greek philosophy. It was the Rambam's pshat in Walachta Bitrochov, because the Rambam felt it was so extremely important for individuals to develop those middos. I found later on that Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zechon Livracha, also has the same kind of thought in one place when he says, why does the Torah speak of the mitzvah of Lo Se'ameitz Levovcho? So it's not enough to give, but it's also important that you give with the proper midos. As a matter of fact, there is a famous Maral Miprak. Maral Miprak raises a question. We say, Im kesef talves ami. Why is Im kesef talves ami? It's a mitzvah. Im kesef talves ami. Why is it couched in Lashon Rishus? If you feel like doing. No, you have to. Im kesef talves ami. Says the Maral Miprak in the Gur Aryeh, in Kesef Talve Ami, there are certain mitzvos which is not enough that you do them simply because you're commanded. Yes, you do them because commanded, but at the same time you should feel like doing it. It should be spontaneous for you. It should be an expression of your personality. In other words, not enough to act, to perform Maaseh Rachamim, but you also have to have Rachmonos. You have to have certain kind of compassion, certain kind of feeling. And for the Rambam, the cultivation of these middos is of such tremendous significance that my feeling is that the Rambam wanted to say, don't treat cultivation of middos merely as what we call instrumental value, as something which enables you to perform the mitzvahs better, but no, it's an intrinsic goal. If you give in proportion to income the same amount of money, if you do it willingly or you're doing grudgingly, he will say it's better to do it willingly, right? Why? Because if you do it willingly, that means you have succeeded in, to a certain extent, in the mitzvah of volachto bitrochov. And I think because of the Rambam's emphasis and the lachta bitrochov and the cultivation of middos, I can also understand a few other things in the Rambam a little better. It's interesting, a famous machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. In the Ramban, if you look in the Chumash in Devorim, Viso Hatofa Yosha, or it's a Yosha Tofa Gadna. The Ramban says, pardon?
Yeah, it says Yosha
Tofa. Yosha Tofa. Says the Ramban, why do we need this mitzvah after we have so many specific mitzvahs? Says the Ramban, among others, it includes also lifnim mishur hasadin. To go lifnim mishur hasadin. In other words, that the Torah commands us to go lifnim mishur hasadin. However, if you look in the Rambam, you never find a mitzvah lifnim to go lifnim mishur hasadin. The formulation which the Rambam always uses is ho'ose lifnim mishur hasadin. If somebody does lifnim mishur hasadin, why doesn't the Rambam ever say you should go lifnim mishur hasadin? I feel it's very simple, because according to the Rambam, you cannot have a mitzvah which is not for everyone. The Rambam always says that a mitzvah has to be for everyone. It has to be ledoros, has to be universal. So the Rambam says no. There's no such special mitzvah going with Nimishadim. But he will say, if someone reaches a higher level of Velachta Bitrochov, then automatically he will be going to call Nimishadim. As the Rambam puts it, for example, in the Perish Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, when he says very explicitly that La'am Oretz Chosid. But La'am Oretz Chosid? Yes, the Am Oretz can also fulfill the mitzvahs, but it cannot be a chosid because he lacks the understanding, he lacks the awareness of doing that which is not actually formally required. And that is what the Rambam's position is, that Lifnim Mishur HaSadin is an actual outgrowth of the mitzvah Lachta Bitrochov. Namely, if you fulfill the mitzvah Lachta Bitrochov, once you reach a certain level, you will not be satisfied to follow the din, right? You would go then lifnim mishur hasadin. Why? Because you have reached a higher level of understanding of what your requirements as an individual to Rabbeinu Shalom towards imitatio Dei, the imitation of Kodesh Baruch Hu is.
Right from the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam says, Paragim says, Mishim is so libo, a tiny mitzvah in Korah.
Yes. Thank you very much. I would, in the same vein, I try to understand the Rambam with respect to the famous question, and that is Darkei Shalom. And it has a lot to do even with our practical attitudes towards Goyim. We have the halacha, for example, Mitni Darkei Shalom, or Chazal sometimes put it Mitni Eva. You're supposed, for example, Mefanasim Akum Mene Yesod, you come on Gittin, right? Mefanasim Akum, Daf Samachalach. Why do we have the mitzvah? After all, the mitzvah of tzedakah is the only ochicho. So why the mitzvah to tzedakah? Nimne Darkei Shalom. Now, what does it mean, Nimne Darkei Shalom? Good many Rishonim say Nimne Darkei Shalom means for the sake of the welfare of Klal Yisrael. Because if we don't do it, if you are nasty to the Goyim, the Goyim will be nasty to us. Now, don't have to tell you. Retaliation. I can tell you, for example, that there have been situations when Jews were denied liver transplants because they said, you wouldn't do it for Goyim, so we are not giving Goyish livers. In some hospitals this happened. I happen to know of cases. Why? Because that's Darkei Shalom. And that's why many Rishonim say the whole concept of Darkei Shalom applies only when Yad Akum Takifo. We have to worry about the reaction of Goyim. But if you don't have to worry about the reaction of Goyim, nothing to worry about. There's no mitzvah Darkei Shalom. So many Rishonim hold. It's interesting. The Rambam has a different pshat in Mitni Darkei Shalom. The Rambam learns with respect to Darkei Shalom. He brings, let me quote you the Rambam, I don't remember, in Hilchos Melochim, says the Rambam, Afilu hagoyim tzivu chachomim levaker choleim ulkovres meseim. In respect to goyim, there is a specific mitzvah to be mevaker cholim and to bury their dead. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Hareinu nema. Says, Tov Hashem lakol v'rachum v'kol masov. Tov Hashem lakol v'rachum v'kol masov. V'neman also says, Tochei Darkei Noam v'chol nesivasei Yosholom. That's a difficult Rambam. If you look in the Gemara in Gittin, there's a whole question in Hanisokin, I think it's Davtach Nuntes, it says, Eilu Dvorim Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Ask the Gemara, what? Mipnei Darkei Shalom? Kol HaTorah Mipnei Darkei Shalom, because Terchei HaDarkei Noam Mechol Nesivasei Yosholom. You won't find a word in the Gemara about Tov Hashem Lakov Rachum HaKom Masov as a mocker for this halacha. Why does the Rambam find it necessary to bring as the first proof for the halacha of Darkei Shalom Tov Hashem Lakov Rachum HaKom Masov? Why does he do it? It's interesting. Here the Rambam doesn't say anything that it applies only when Yat Yisrael, when Yat Akum Takifo. It makes no distinction. Yes, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he speaks about the permissibility of Goyim, even the living in Eretz Yisrael, he says you can't even give a transit visa to a Goy who is not Mekabel Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Because the Rambam has this terrible fear of Avodah Zorah, right? But there he says that you would be nice to Goyim and all that is only Bisman She Yisrael Yat Akum Takifo. Why was suddenly here? Because the Rambam holds, yes, when it comes to Avodah Zorah, this is such a terrible thing, you have to restrain, do anything to keep away Avodah Zorah. However, here when he speaks about a relationship to Goyim, he will say, there is an ethical imperative. Why? If you look in Hilchos Avodim, the Rambam also quotes the pasuk with Tov Hashem Lakov Rachum HaKom Masov, and it says it is for the purpose of Lidomos LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Tov Hashem Lakov, because the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the Rav many often pointed out, asked an interesting question. Why do we say, allow to say Sukkot Simcha? How can we say Pesukah Tzimra? After all, remember the Gemara Brachos, when somebody put on all kinds of shvachim to the Keshbachu, he would say, Siyamta Shvachur Shvachur the Mori Alma. Did you say finish everything? What right do you have? If we wouldn't have that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Anshikness God, Mesachin, Okela, God, Gibab, and Oro, we couldn't do it. So how come you say Pesukah Tzimra? As a matter of fact, you have to ask a further question. The Gemara says, when somebody says, Halal B'chol Yom is Mecharef Megadeth. So if you look in the Shiur Rav, the Sechon Nishim Abba, you'll find there that the Rav says, Pesukah Tzimra has a different reason. Pesukah Tzimra is not sent for the purpose of praising the Rebbeinu Shalom, because that is reserved for Shir, for Halal. Pesukah Tzimra, what is the purpose? To teach us how we can imitate the Darkei Hashem. Because if we wouldn't have Pesukah Tzimra, we wouldn't be able to know what are the Darkei Hashem. From the Pesukah Tzimra, we learn what are the Darkei Hashem, and we know what midos we're supposed to imitate. Now, the Rav will also say that all the midos that we're supposed to cultivate are in the sense of all the midos are from the point of view of two things. Either, he says, all ethical behavior divide in two parts. Sometimes we have to imitate the Rebbeinu Shalom, he calls it the ethics of majesty, that human beings have to do things, create things, realize their potential to be creative, to be helpful, to assist people, to expand the community, whatever it is. And sometimes he speaks about the ethics of withdrawal, that people also have to know there are certain things that are beyond us, we have to retreat, and ethics of resignation. So both are imitation of Gershbach. I can understand the imitation of Rebbeinu Shalom as being creative, you know, the Boris Shomayim Boris, etc., etc., as the Nefesh Chaim puts it, that we have man is B'Tzelem Elokim, and just as the Rebbeinu Shalom is creative, we should also be creative, etc., etc. Just understand. How are we creative with anivus, with your resignation? Says the Rav, after the finding Gemara, Rabbi Yochai b'chol makom she'ata motzei kedusha kashbocha ad matzav nusos. The Rebbeinu Shalom also is anivus. What is the anivus? He explains it in terms of the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh has developed the doctrine of tzimtzum. The Rebbeinu Shalom is tzimtzum yishchina. In order to create a world, the Rebbeinu Shalom, in a certain sense, had to withdraw, make space for the world. The Rebbeinu Shalom made space for the world. That's the doctrine of the Ari HaKadosh. And the Rav uses this in terms of showing that in the Rebbeinu Shalom knows we know how to retreat. Now the question is, in every particular case you don't know what to do, so therefore for this you need some kind of intuition. You cannot, as I indicated before, you cannot really do the ethical life simply on the basis of formulas. You need a certain amount of models to be able to become part and parcel of your own personality and absorb it by osmosis. And speaking of the Rambam again, the Rambam speaks about the Darkei Shalom is for him the great Jewish religious idea. I can prove it to you, because the Rambam will say in Shmona Prokem, when he says all the mitzvahs of Torah have only one of two purposes. It quotes the pasuk, Emes v'Shalom Ahavu. It's Emes and Shalom. Emes means the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the deos which you need about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the right opinions about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one of the reasons, the purpose of the mitzvahs. Let's say Shabbos teaches us that Rebbeinu Shalom is the creator, is the Bari Olam, etc., etc. And then the mitzvahs designed according to Rambam to wean us away from any kind of Avodah Zorah, etc. I don't want to go into it. And also there is Shalom. Shalom for him is the sum total of the commandments which are designed to improve human welfare. Because according to Rambam, all the mitzvahs have either the purpose to improve human welfare or the purpose of bringing us deos, the proper deos, in terms of proper opinions and proper beliefs. So, and I finished with that ratio which I stole from a French Jewish philosopher, Levinas, who died fairly recently. He raises the question in Megillas Esther. We have two letters of Esther. First she writes another letter, you know, and the second letter concludes, it begins with Divri Sholom Emes. Chazal tell us that the first letter has to do with Purim. The second letter was Kisvuni L'doros. I want to be part and parcel of Sifri Kodesh, of Kisri Kodesh. So how could Kisri Kodesh? So Levinas says, you want to observe the observance of Purim? Fine. But when it comes to become included in Kisri Kodesh, then you have to show it leads to Shalom Emes. Because Shalom Emes is the basis of Yahadus. So he says, that's why she prefaced the comments of the second letter with Divrei Sholom Emes, because otherwise it couldn't be part and parcel of Kisri Kodesh. Okay. And I hope it be a Shnas Shalom for all of you. And thank you very much.
Yeah.